Let's look at the psalm in general. There is no introduction to the writer of the psalm. You know, for other psalm, it is a psalm of David, a psalm of so and so. But here we do not have a title, so we do not know who the author is. Well, many tried to ascribe it to David, but we are not very sure that David was indeed the writer. But the psalm was ascribed to the sons of Korah. And then it says, a song upon Alamoth. Now, very interesting word, right? Now, the word Alamoth appears only twice in the Bible. The other occurrence was in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 15. Now, what does the word Alamoth mean? It means virgin or young woman. So, Songs of Alamoth probably refers to songs sung by a choir of virgins. The word Alamoth has the same Hebrew word as a virgin in Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. You know that verse? Behold, a virgin shall be with child. Right? So the word virgin is the same Hebrew word there, Alamoth. Okay. So it's a choir sung by young girls. Well, very interesting. You have young girls singing in a choir and presenting, alright, in the place of worship. So even in the Old Testament, we do see that women choir, alright, is or was functioning in the Old Testament time, in the sense that girls do come together and sing and offer praises to God. And we look at the psalm generally. Okay, there's no particular reference. Now, some psalm says a psalm of David. He wrote it while he was running away from Saul. A psalm of David, a psalm when he was running away from his son Absalom. Right? But here, nothing is said. So, there's no background. So, we do not know what was the particular situation when this psalm was written. However, from the content itself, we do see a few things. Number one, we see that the psalm talk about natural disasters. Alright? Like in verse 2, it says, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Now, we can figure out that the two verses here are talking about natural calamities. So, there are natural calamities. Then from verses 6 to 9, it talks about war. Verse 6, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our strength. Then he says that, verse 9, he maketh war to cease unto the end of the earth. And then he breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in the fire. So again, we know that these are description of a warfare. So, these are the two general events. But when they happened in the history of Israel, we don't know. It happened many times. Right? But nothing specific was mentioned. We want to look at the two general events. First of all, talking about natural disasters. And he says that the earth moved and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Now, we know what that is. When there is an earthquake, we know that the earth moved, right? And then it says the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Have you seen mountains break and then it kind of just falls into the sea? In fact, I have a picture of what happened during the 2004 tsunami in Indonesia. There was a mountain, it breaks because of the earthquake, and then it just got carried away into the river. So we are seeing these things. Now, things like this might not have happened many years ago, but we are seeing it today. You know? And then it says, the waters roar and be troubled. Alright? Though the mountains shake with swelling. Now the word swelling there may be related to the rolling of the waters rather than the mountain shake. Eh? So we know the waves are so strong that it comes and then it's swelling. It keeps coming. Okay, and today, in a very technological world, we can see what is happening in other parts of the world. We saw the great tsunami in 2004. Then a few years later, there was one in Japan. You know, and we see cars, buildings swept away. It is a very frightening scene. Okay? So, way back in the Old Testament, we have all these description. Probably people would not have thought that such terrible disasters would happen. But today, it's a reality. It is no more something that is unfathomable. Then it talks about war in verse 9. Okay, so you have fighting and so on. Now, look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. That's very interesting. From verses 2 to 9, it talks about natural disasters. It talks about war. And then coming to verse 10, the psalmist says, be still and know that I am God. Now we understand the instruction to be still. Okay, but then how do we keep still when there are things that are happening with disastrous effect? You know, We can't be still. What does he want us to do? So this afternoon, I want you to see a few things. Now the word be still is very interesting. The word in Chinese, if you hold a Chinese Bible, it says xiu xi. And I think all of us here are Chinese. You know the word xiu xi means go and rest. Rest. You know? Yeah, rest. Now, many a times, when we are in a very difficult situation, we tend to panic, right? And then we want to find a solution. What must I do? Okay? But God has another plan for us. He wants us to rest. Okay? And I think this is a good a good teaching. You know? While we are filled with anxiety, okay, I think God says, be still. Seek Him first. Like, let Him be our guide. Let Him find a solution for us. Let me just illustrate. If somebody's money runs out, no more money in the bank, go to the ATM machine, press a few numbers, nothing comes out. Right? But then he has to pay a bill. Now, his immediate thought will be this. How can I get money? Okay, unfortunately, we have people who go to the loan shark, right? Yeah. And loan shark are very willing to loan them money, but very high interest. Okay. Now, in such a situation, God says, be still. In other words, take some time and be still. Right? Think. Not how we can get out of that difficulty, but how God, in His power, can get us out of that challenging situation. Now the question is, do we trust God? Many Christians say it's very hard, isn't it? When I'm in trouble, I want a quick fix. I want a quick solution. But God wants us to rest. Now, it is also interesting that in our King James Bible, okay, I'm referring to King James Bible because other versions could use other words. Huh? The word "be still" in Hebrew is translated in two other ways. Number one, it is translated as "to faint." All right. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13, verses 6 and 7. The book of Isaiah, chapter 13, and verse 6. "How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt." Now, the word there, "be faint," comes from the same Hebrew word as "be still." Now, quite an opposite meaning, right? One is to faint, the other one is to be still. And I think the translator of the Bible, alright, has chosen these English words, alright, to highlight certain facts. Like when the psalmist says, "be still," he's telling us that when you see all these events happening, whether you hear about war and so on, you know, it's such thing is happening, be still. And then in Isaiah chapter 13, the prophet says that when you hear these things, you'll feel faint. Okay, now the background of chapter 13 is this. The Babylonians were about to come down to Judah. God has sent Isaiah to warn the people, repent, you know, turn away from your sin, come back to God. If not, a nation whose tongues you don't understand will come and take you into slavery. You'll be captives. But unfortunately, the people of Judah did not heed God's word. They did not listen to the prophet. And so the prophet says, "How ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand." What day is that? The coming of the enemies is at hand. At hand means nearing. Right? The enemies are coming into Judah soon. "It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty." Alright? The destruction is not from the Babylonians. But God allowed Judah to experience calamities or destruction so that they would know that what God said is true. And then in verse 7 it says, "Therefore shall all hands be faint." So when the news reached Judah saying that the Babylonians are coming down and on the way towards the city, we were told that the people of Judah hearts melted. That means they felt faint, felt weak is that meaning. Alright? The Chinese translation will be very straightforward. Luan luo means feel very weak. Okay? Now this is another response to the message of a calamity. Right? When you hear something bad happen, what comes to you? What is in you? There will be many thoughts going through your mind. You'll feel helpless, hopeless. You feel weak. Right? I cannot solve this problem. So the translation "be faint" is a description of how we feel when we are facing calamities. Then there is another word used in the King James Bible. And it's the word "fail." To fail you. Okay, look at Deuteronomy chapter 31. The fifth book of the Bible, Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6 and verse 8. Verse 6, let me read. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Verse 8, and the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Right here we have Moses talking to Joshua. Okay, Moses' life is coming to an end. He's passing the baton to Joshua, and he said these words of encouragement to him. In it, he says, "God, He will not fail thee." In other words, God will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. So how must Joshua respond? Fear not, neither be dismayed. Alright, so you have the word fail. The word fail goes along with the word forsake. Fail you, nor forsake you. So in calamities, there is a tendency to feel forsaken, right? We have people who are tried. Not too long ago, I visited someone at home. He suffered a debilitating kind of illness. And then he said, "Where is God? Why did God allow such an illness to befall me?" So he's asking, "Where is God?" Now, brethren, God is still on the throne. God is here with you. He has not forsaken you. He will not fail you, nor forsake you. I can't explain why he's afflicted with an illness. I can't explain. Alright? The only thing I know is that we are living in a fallen world where there are diseases, you know, there are bad things that happen. Accident, alright? Or harm caused by others. But we must not forget that God had not forsaken us. Right? In our deepest sorrow, He is there. And we have many people who had, in their hardest time, seek God and find Him very real in their lives. On the same token, I visited an elderly lady, very ill with cancer. You know, but she's all smile when we visited her. She says, "My life is in God's hand. I could have been taken away long ago, but God spared me and I'm still alive." Though, you know, she's suffering from cancer. Her bones are so brittle that a wrong turn could break her hand. But she trusted the Lord. And she testified how often that God has been so good to her. She experienced the reality of God's presence. See, two persons suffering illness, but they have different responses. Now, which one would you choose? So, here in Psalm 46, we learn this, that when we are in difficult time, be still. Okay. Now, when we talk about be still, we remember the time when the Israelites came out of Egypt. Right? So, not long after they are out of Egypt, Pharaoh sent his soldiers to go after them. Okay? And so the Israelites were traveling. And they saw that the chariots of Pharaoh were behind them. Well, I suppose they hastened their pace. And what they discovered was the Red Sea in front of them. To move forward, they die. To move backward, they die. Now what must they do? Now they do what most people do. They complain, right? They murmur. It says, "Moses, why do you take us out here to die? Is there no proper burial place in Egypt? And Moses was burdened. Over 1 million people departed from Egypt. And they murmured, they complained. Moses' heart must be very heavy. He turned to God. And this is what God said to him in Exodus chapter 14. Okay, tell the people, do this. Alright, he says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The word salvation means deliverance. Now it's interesting, stand still and see the deliverance of God. If you were one of the Israelites, is that a very assuring message? Stand still, soldiers behind, Red Sea in front. But that's what God wants us to do when you are deeply in trouble. All right, stand still and see how God will deliver you. Okay. Naturally, we feel faint, feel weak. Naturally, we feel forsaken. But I hope that we will turn to God, search His words, and you will find many, many comforting truths there. Be still and know that I am God. The word God there comes from the Hebrew word Elohim, we know well. It means He is the Mighty One. Alright, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So He is the Creator. Alright, He's the Mighty One. So, when there are natural calamities, there are impending wars, know that our God is on the throne. Many people ask, why is there war in the other part of Europe? Russia and Ukraine. Now again, I don't have answer. But I only know that there's a problem with man's desire, right? Okay, I'm not going to say who is right, who is wrong. Alright. But we see that there's a problem with man's desire. Man chose to go to war. And so because of this conflict, the entire world is affected. Right? Shortage of oil and other things. And then the next question is, where is God in this conflict? Where is God in this war? Now the answer is this. He's still the Almighty God. Alright? He allows some things to happen. But He's still in control. Because He is Jehovah God. Elohim. Jehovah Elohim. God. And then in verse 7, we find another name of God. And that is, He is the Lord of hosts. The Hebrew word will be Jehovah Sabaoth. And it means the covenant keeping God. So, our God keeps His promise. The promises of God will never fail. They are yea and amen. In the New Testament, it says so. What does that mean? It means that they are true, what God has said. So do we have confidence in God? Do we trust that what God say will come to pass? He will protect you, He will save you. When you have need, He will provide you. Brethren, we need faith to trust in Him. And then there is another name given, and that is found in verse 11. He's the God of Jacob. Now it's very interesting that in the Old Testament you read of God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. It has never been said that He is God of say Joseph, you know, he's God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, being God of Abraham and Isaac, I say they are good context, because Abraham is a man of faith. Isaac, well, he was born out of Abraham's faith. But if we look at Jacob and his life, we wonder why he's given this title, in a sense, God of Jacob. Alright? The God of Jacob. He's not a godly man, you know, that we think God should exalt him. However, the Bible is clear that he's the God of Jacob. Now, what we want to learn from his name is this, that first of all, though Jacob was not a fine believer in that sense, right? But God remained faithful to him. He was subtle, cunning, sly. But God changed him. If we look at the later years of Jacob's life, alright, he repented, right? He sought reconciliation with his brother Esau. With great fear, he went to Esau. But then he wants to make right. And then after that, he took his children to Egypt, where his son Joseph was. He had faith. And then he even says that my bones must be back in the land of Judah. So God is telling us that though we are frail, weak, and sometimes been found unfaithful, God remained true. He did not cast us away because we are less faithful. God did not forsake us when we become weaker, you know, and when we sin. God is pleading with us to turn away from our sin. God has not forsaken us. He has not taken away His Spirit from us. So, names here are mentioned to give us thoughts of comfort and assurance that this is the same God we believe in. So today, we believe He is Jehovah God, He is the Lord God Sabaoth, He is the God of Jacob. Can we find assurance in these names? So, in conclusion, I want to ask, what situation are you in now? If you say, you know, everything is well, thank God. Alright, I think we are grateful that things are well. But remember, when things are well, we learn to trust in God. So that when things are unwell, we have really learned to trust in Him. But perchance you are going through some crisis in your life. You find it so hard to get out of it. Can be in your work, your family, your personal life. So brethren, the comforting thought is this. Be still, God says, and know that He is God. He will help you. So remember, turn to Him in your most difficult time. And I think this is what the psalmist wants us to do. By the way, Psalm 46 is also known as the Psalm of the Reformation. Right? Because Martin Luther wrote the song, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, based on this psalm. And next Sunday, we're going to take a look, alright, on that hymn, and then, or how this psalm is related to that hymn. A mighty fortress is our God. And I hope that the sharing will be a blessing to you too.